the human being, if he, with regards to his objective, when he attains his objective, when he goes after his objective, then at that time the person is very happy, extremely joyful. Even if in the eyes of other people, that objective, the objective of that person, if it has no importance to other people, even if it isn't looked upon as important or essential or significant, but that individual who has his or her own objective and attains that, achieves that, and it's for that person a big objective, a big goal. And when a person attains his or her goals, then that person is extremely happy, or is happy. Even if others don't feel that, but that person had a desire, a want, an objective, a need, etc. And Allah Ta'ala fulfilled that. For example, a driving test, a person passes his driving test, and you can tell from his face that he's passed today, that he has attained a big success. His face is happy, his complexion is happy, and the other person, he'll tell, I passed my test, is it? No, okay. Even if he's not in a mood, he won't even listen. He says, what's this? Okay, he's passed his test, big deal. But for the individual who's passed, big objective has been met, box ticked, and he won't even sleep in the night out of happiness. In the same way, in the life of a person, he has different objectives. For example, a student who works and makes efforts, puts in effort, and after a year, when the person gets the news that you've passed, then look at the hal, the condition of that person will be very happy for the rest of that year, the whole year he's worked hard and he gets a result after that, that he's passed, and he'll tell everybody, he'll distribute sweets and goodies and tell people, I've passed. So every maqasid, everyone has objectives, different objectives at different times in different parts of the life. For example, one person has a job, already in occupation, the other person is looking for a job. So the person who's already working, he hasn't got the objective, there's no urgency. But the person who's looking for a job has urgency, a need, a want. And when he gets the job, he's very happy. Oh, I've got a job today, I'm going to get paid, etc. So in the same way, every person has a destination or a goal, a target, an objective, and these change from time to time, but there's one objective that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. And if we attain that objective, if we make that our goal, then all the smaller objectives of life are secondary, tertiary, they come after, their happiness at attaining them is temporary. For a little while we'll be born, a son has been born into our family, and after a while that happiness will diminish. If you pass the test, one day, 2 days, few days happy, then you forget that. You go after the next objective. After 2 years, if somebody comes and says to you, congratulations, you passed your driving test. You say, are you mad? I passed a couple of years ago. Now you're telling me congratulations. Because the happiness has subsided. Rather, you'll get upset. You're having a laugh on me, making fun of me. After 2-3 years, you're giving me Mubarak for my driving. Somebody had a son. And if you go to him after 5 years, lots of congratulations. And for what? You had a son. He said, which son? He said, that was 5 years ago. He said, are you mad? You mind you telling me after 5 years, congratulations, because this is the objective of dunya, isn't it? So we realize that all objectives here, they are temporary. Their happiness will not exist forever. A person works hard all his life long to attain the objectives of the world and the dunya, and they diminish afterwards, reduce. But there's one objective that when a person will hear from his ears, رَاضِيَةً مَرَضِيَّةً, the word will come, the announcement will come, Allah will say, go, I am pleased with you. Go, return to thy Lord, content in His good pleasure. So imagine if we are so happy in attaining things in the world, but when we heard these words, 70 years, 80 years, 40 years, 50 years, that when you struggle and make effort, and you did mujahidah, and you kept fast, and you made effort, alhamdulillah, you did dhikr, adhkar, you did tilawah, and you crushed your desires, and you made a focus, an objective, a target in your life, and you knew what was the eternal pleasure and goodness, and every second you controlled your desires, and you understood the traps of desires and the net and the trap of desires, and you clashed with your desires which took you towards evil. Every second a mu'min, he's always crushing himself. Every moment a mu'min is crushing and trampling upon himself. I now can't remember that poem, that couplet, that verse at this moment in time, but the poet said, Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayhi, what a great sheikh of the Chishti Silsila, Chishti order. And on this verse, his life passed away. I can't remember the verse now. But the objective of that verse is that the life of a mu'min, of a believer, isn't that he just gives himself away once and that's it. No, every second he said that I'm being attacked by my desires, and every moment I overcome my desires so I can become a better person. This was his verse. And the wali of Allah is like this. That what time is there that when a person doesn't have to crush his desires, and after that the pain that comes after suppressing the desires, for example, you want some sweet, somebody takes a sweet away from you, you'll feel a bit of pain. You want to eat some egg and the egg is cooked and it's in front of you and somebody picks it up and throws it away. For example, you've made a nice milkshake and there's mangoes in that milkshake and sugar and it's sweet and you sat down about to drink it and a child comes and his hand hits the glass and it drops and all the milkshake comes out. Is this a small thing? But for the nafs, it's a big tragedy. It's a knock on the nafs, on the desires. So at that time, a person is prepared, desires. So if the desires are wrong, if they are negative, if the nafs drags us to wrong desires, then if we stop and cease the action at that time, then the nafs, it boils over, becomes angry, and a person within gets upset. How can he control himself? The nafs is there. For example, a person, he's running after a woman, he's got the time, he's got the opportunity, everything's there set, he's got the place to carry out his actions and desires, and nafs has prepared him totally, mentally, spiritually, but suddenly he feels regret, and he feels remorse, and he says, Allah, you are watching me, I've done wrong, and he leaves that opportunity suddenly. He has attacks from the nafs and the desires, and always he's overcoming those attacks of the nafs, of the desire. This should be my life and your life. If we make our life proper and upright, and then our life will be good, and we'll be going after the real objective. And then after 40, 50, 60 years, however long we live, Allah says, the result day has come, radiyatam maradiyah, it's results day, oh people of the heavens, this man's coming to me, I've published his result, go and give him the good news that your Rabb is happy with you. Every man has this desire, whether he has it or not. Then if there's a desire away from this, that is a waste. There's a waste. Person who's recited the kalama, believes in Allah, as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, is he a mu'min, a Muslim? If there can be no greater objective than this, than to hear this announcement, radiyatan maradiyah. The person who spends his life running after this objective, to hear the announcement, the good news, the good result from Allah, then that person's life is successful. Always we should have in our mind that I want to hear this announcement, that when I'm passing away, dying, radiyatan maradiyah, go, I'm happy with you, O my servant. Subhanallah. So this is a big objective of mankind, a big objective. And when a person stands firm on this objective, and when a person stands firm on a big objective, for example, you have an objective, I've bought a piece of land, I'm going to construct a building on this land, flats or a house, and there will be flats above on the ground floor, there will be shops, and I'm going to do this, and I'll have this much turnover, and I'm busy in building that structure. Then making a small house for me is nothing, is it? It's minor, insignificant. Oh, a two bed house, that's fine, I'll build that, don't worry, that's easy, piece of cake. But the biggest thing is what I'm doing at the moment, the bigger block of flats, isn't it? This is what happens, isn't it? When you have a big objective, then the minor, smaller things are small scale for you. So Allah Ta'ala says, Ridwan Allahi Akbar. Allah says, your biggest objective of life is that you have to please me. That's your target, main target in life is that. And the person who runs after this project, pleasing Allah, such a big project comes in front of him. Then these small minor projects say, do sabr. If I don't succeed, fine. If I can't run the shop, the business, fine. It will go, I'll get less turnover, etc. So this project, to get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, and to hear the announcement from Allah that you have succeeded, then a person during this journey, if he has stumbles or losses, he falls down the way, he doesn't worry. Oh, I had a house and everything. And those people who are just running after assets and structure in the world, he says, what are you saying to me in the world? But those people who have the desires in the world, and he wants to spend their life with others who have the same desires in the world, they have needs, and all of his desires and needs are wife, children, house, structures, assets, money, turnover. He's drowned in these things. But the person who has a bigger objective than this, a bigger objective of this, was a higher mission, which is invisible, which we cannot see, but it's being made, alhamdulillah, and he's running after his mission, then every minute he's spending according to this on such a big project, that I have heard this announcement from Allah, رَاضِيَ تَمَّ رَاضِيَ. The Allah Ta'ala says, oh, I am happy with you and you are also content with me, my creation, my servant, رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرَ. And this is the project that we need to run after, which is to attain Allah's pleasure. So what we realize that all of the targets we've made in life are secondary, they are minor targets, small targets. The biggest objective, the biggest target for a human being is to please his Lord, his creator Allah. No, salah, we should have this in our daily actions to meet that target. Salah, we see Quran and Hadith that talks about salah and punishment for leaving, and we have adhan called to pray in the masjid, and masjids are called now for salah. Pray salah, come to salah. What's the objective? What is the objective of salah? To please Allah. To please Allah. And if a person doesn't have this in his mind, pleasure of Allah, then he won't be praying salah. He'll just be bopping up and down. Because he's used to praying just physically. It's just physical bopping up and down. Isn't this case? Hajj, let's go on Hajj. Go to go to Hajj. Person who hasn't done Hajj, he will be a sinner. He will pass away as a sinner. Hadith are being mentioned and orders in the Quran. And everyone's getting ready for Hajj. And I've got to go, and this fard has not been fulfilled. And how will we pass away? And how will I respond to this and answer this? And a person, what he does, he tries his best, etc. And I want to do Hajj this time, and an old man's crying, young man's crying, Hajj, I need to go on Hajj, is essential, etc. What's the objective though of going on Hajj? Is Allah's pleasure. To go to Arafah, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. To do Sa'i, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. To go to the Mataf, to do Tawaf, Allah's pleasure. To kiss the Hajar al-Aswad, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. This is the objective, to drink the sips of Zamzam water, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Aha, just to look at the house of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Objective to go to Medina, travel to Medina for the sake of Allah's pleasure. To stand in front of the Jali, the Rood, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. To stand and recite Durood, Allah's pleasure. Allah's pleasure. To look at the green dome, the blessed Ghumud Khizra, Allah Ta'ala's Radha, holy Ghumud Khizra. And if you are awake and conscious and you start reciting Naats there in Medina, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. All of the actions, if they are targeted to Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, Allah's Radha, then what is that person's objective? It is the clean and pure objective, the best objective. And success upon success is the result. Otherwise nothing will come. Then a person just on a journey, Hajj journey, holidays, passing time. Those people who are doing all these actions without an objective, they have other objectives, not Allah's pleasure. Then zero upon zero. 0.0 is the result. Ramadan's coming. Oh, Ramadan's coming. It's near now. And everyone's getting ready for Ramadan 2 months before. Everyone's saying du'as. Oh, I hope I can get to Ramadan. I hope I stay alive until Ramadan. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, do this du'a. Ramadan's close. And everyone in the world is doing du'a. The walis of Allah crying, Allah, give us Ramadan. Oh, Allah, give us Ramadan. Allah, deliver us. Make us reach to Ramadan safely. We're making doing du'as. We are passionate making du'as. Samosas are cooked. The papars, freezers and fridges being filled with the iftar food. And programs are scheduled all recite this much Quran and holiday requests, and I'm going to not work during Ramadan, I'll work after Ramadan, I'm going to juice my house in Ramadan, I'm not going to do much work, and all people's schedules and habits and all the structure is being formulated for Ramadan. What's the objective? What's the objective of Ramadan? What is there any other objective? Is it to keep the fast, to eat at suhoor time and iftar time and stay hungry? No, there's one objective, Ridwan Allah Akbar, because this is the biggest objective for any human being at any time of life, to please Allah. Fast is telling us this. Ah, now Ramadan comes to the rescue. Ah, it's come to refresh our deen again. Today, what are we talking about? All of the ibadat, my worship, me, you, our lives, our time, all the things we do in our life from beginning to end, everything, gather it into one sack, do ibadah, worship, gather it all on to put it onto one side, and Ramadan comes to refresh our minds and tell us one clear fact that what is the objective of every second of your life. And who is telling us this? Who is reminding us this? The act of fasting, you've forgotten, oh foolish people, mad people, you don't even know why you're praying salah. You don't know. After praying salah, that we cannot see Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, then we have to understand that we didn't have the objective of Allah's radha. There's no objective in our action of salah. I sit down and I prepare for my driving test, then I go to my driving test and the instructor's coming, the examiner, we sit in the car, he tells me go here, left, right, and I'm learning to drive to pass the test, isn't it? That's my objective. And a person, if he sees me doing that, he'll say, oh, he's learning to drive. He sat with the instructor and the car, the learner car is being driven, he's learning to drive. Everybody can see that clearly, that he is trying to meet his or her objective. Yes, so if I pray salah and come back from the masjid, what was my objective? To please Allah. So after praying salah, can I see any actions that are making Allah pleased with me? Ridwan Allah Akbar. Can I see glimpses of Allah's pleasure in my actions? what is the glimpse of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? Obedience to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Has the color, the form, the way of life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam come to my life? Can I see sunnah in my life? After Hajj, can I see sunnah in my life? Now fast is reminding us that 30 days I have come. I've made you do mujahidah, struggle, make effort, and jahil, ignorant person. Can you see now the result of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure in your life? Is it? Can you see this? Is there any sign of Allah's pleasure? How many people are there who have brought their life onto the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Their parents, their form, they've done tawbah, repented, said fasting. We shake hands with you, we meet you, we greet you, embrace you. You gave us an objective and we've attained that. And now I can see that someone sat in the car, the learner car, and the instructor's telling him to drive. And I'll say, oh yeah, this person's learning to drive, obviously. So in the same way, if somebody fasts in Ramadan, then what happens? The angels after Ramadan say, Allah, this person, he is the fasting person because he has learnt and made an improvement. I can see glimpses in his life that he's improved, Allah. So you're pleased with this person. So is this not understanding for us? So my friends, that look, we say, no, we're fasting, the time's passing, and we all drama is happening in Ramadan. We are, the time's passing, but we don't understand the objective of this action. That is there any ibadah that a person performs which is empty of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure after it? Only if we don't get the result at the end, the net result. Then it is not positive, it's not beneficial. So if after one ibadah you cannot see Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, then that ibadah is giving you the result itself. Is it, has it passed or failed? Your ibadah, your worship will tell you itself the result. That you've just finished this act of worship. Can I see in my life an improvement? Can I see that I'm steering or veering towards the sunnah? And have I done this ibadah to please Allah? After Hajj, such a massive act of worship. If after Hajj, a person's not changed and improved, then consider that they are very, the chance of him changing and improving is very remote indeed. Even then, the days are days of counting. But these 30 days of Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, Allah has put a condition that you have to improve yourself in these days. The fast is still exists. That every part of your life, I'm refreshing you and reminding you, and you are being re-energized. And if after these 30 days I'm not improved, and if I cannot see the sign of Allah Ta'ala's radha after these 30 days, not that the person who's kept all the fast, he's done this and that. No, we have to go on the result of the fasting. If I've done driving, etc., what's the result? Pass. Has this person passed? That's when we'll realize that he had a good instructor, he taught him well, the person absorbed all of the teaching, learning. You can stay all your life behind the steering wheel. There are many poor people who've spent years, 5 years, 6 years, and they're still behind the steering wheel and they haven't got a result from their driving test. Those poor souls, they go, they learn, they go to the driving test, then they've got tears in their eyes after the test. Oh, I failed. Why did you fail? I did this wrong. Instructor said, do this. So in the Akhirah, when we stand up, then we'll be told in the Akhirah that we failed. And it won't be you failed again. It will be just one announcement. You failed. Eternal, permanent fail. Why? Because this person was given a chance, a long time, yet a lot of life. Many months of fasting, many years of fasting. Many opportunities Allah says are given, many good, great nights, and many opportunities to get forgiveness, many maqams, many times are given a high status, are given chances upon chances, and here we're getting many chances indeed. Every day, yeah, for example, if a person has a driving test, he pays the fee, fills in the form, he can have a test whenever you want, but after every salah, we have the test. What is the response? What is the result? What is the result? Angels say, Allah, he's the same, he's got worse. He's not even better. Allahu Akbar, Ramadan comes. Allah says, result, my servant, result, result. Every man, Allah Ta'ala knows, every man in the universe, every creature, even when we're not born, Allah Ta'ala knows us. And those, so if Allah knows who's going to be born, Allah knows that person, the child that's in the womb, Allah knows that. If Allah Ta'ala doesn't know, how does the rizq come? The food. Allah Ta'ala knows everything in the universe and everything. Allah Ta'ala knows all the creatures, the ants. Allah knows that I have to look after each and every ant in the universe. Allah Ta'ala enables the ant to walk on its small legs and its system. Allah Ta'ala allows its cycle to progress, its digestion system, and the blood that's flowing the veins of the ant. Allah Ta'ala has to control the flow and the speed. Allah is Rabbul Kareem. Rabbul Azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah. Now do you understand what is this kalima? This verse, oh, servants of Allah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahil azim. And I enjoy reciting this kalima a lot. Do you enjoy it? I enjoy it so much when I recite this kalima. So much. One brother said to me, he said, when you recite the other kalimas, you don't show the intensity. This somebody who met me afterwards, the salam dua in the shops, and when I go shopping, I'm not that people who sits at home and just pass the time idle, I go to the shops and do shopping, buy the onions and pick up all of the fruits and vegetables and work with my own hands, and I give da'wah and propagate deen, and I make people, my students there, and give them dhikr there and then. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. So look how great is this silsila. This silsila is a silsila that is a silsila of the world. SubhanAllah. And it's the silsila of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was his tariqah. Wherever he went, he would propagate the deen. No, you sit at home, and when a Hazrat comes into the room, everyone cry out, Hazrat sahab, he's great, and inside there's nothing, like an empty box, hollow. Yeah? So this, no, there's nothing there. Nothing to offer, nothing to teach. My brothers, understand the point. Allah is Rabbul Kareem. He understands the needs and the requirements of every creature in the universe. Allah Ta'ala understands, is aware. Every second that my servant has come to me in Ramadan, Allah asks, that today's fast, has it had an effect on you? No. Allah, they say, he's still the same. He's well, maybe worse. Allah says, my mercy doesn't desire that I send you to this place, hellfire. Allah Ta'ala points towards hellfire. Now this destination, you want to go here? The fire of Jahannam. The fire of Jahannam, its fuel will be stones and men. And when it tosses and turns the people through the waves of the fire, we have a great chance in the world. And after 30 days, Allah announces, after Ramadan passes, Allahu Akbar, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed words, Rasulullah himself announced that Allah Ta'ala said that person in these 30 days and nights, that woman, that man, that old man, that young person, who in these 30 days doesn't change his life for the better, and he cannot change his life for the better and observe the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and have that way of life of the Prophet ﷺ, and he doesn't leave the sin and do tawbah, then there's no more cursed person than this. He's failed in the world. He's badbakht, wretched. Summun bukumun umyun fahum la yarji'un. Allah Ta'ala says the kitab has been closed on this person. His life, he's wasting his life. The person who can't improve his life in 30 days of Ramadan. What a big objective Ramadan has come with. Big objective. So the fast is telling us that this is your objective of fasting person. For each fast that you observe to please Allah, and after pleasing Allah, if you pass Ramadan like this, then you've attained the objective. Should we do this or not, my friends? Think. So brothers, Ramadan has come to remind us, and we should be understanding, okay Ramadan, you've refreshed us, reminded us, we've come onto the right path, onto the right objective, and Ramadan has given us the understanding so we can differentiate between all the rights and the wrongs. So now tell me that, for example, Ramadan is telling us A, B, C, D. So what shall we do to get the objective then? What should we do? What is the method that you've given to us, Ramadan, by us keeping the fast? What is the method? Ramadan says, yes, I've announced. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced. The hadith comes again. Hazrat Salman Farsi, radiyallahu anhu. He was a great sahabi. Dervish sahabi. He was sold so many times. Sold so many times. Whilst he was on that mission to attain righteousness. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was sold. But the ashik, the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Farsi, he was sold many times over before he reached to the sohbat. But the ashik, the lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sold many times over. And this is the history of Hazrat Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu. He had a maqam, a status. He struggled, made effort to get to his destination, to attain the company of his mahbub. Many times he had to change his environment, where he was, where he lived, and he was caught and imprisoned and then sold. And that's when he attained what he had to. Imagine the value of getting close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People, the struggles they went through to get close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how they observed this and overcome their struggles. But we can't even clash against our nafs, our desires that take us towards sin. We can't even do this. So if we see now from the hadith, the words of the hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the announcement. It was a clear announcement about what? About how we can attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And the angel is telling us this in the ear. The fast is telling us in our ears that, oh lucky people, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told you the secret, and I'm refreshing you. Grab hold of this firmly and don't leave this ever. That what are the deeds that you must do that will give you the ridwane min rabbikum, that will give you the pleasure of your Lord? These are the words of the hadith. Clear words, clear direction. So Ramadan, when it comes, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remember that please your Lord. This is the objective of your life. Please your Lord, please Him. Do it, keep on pleasing Him.
And not just until Ramadan stays and you please Allah, not after that. Continue this action, mustaqil, to continue. When the words are do, this means continuous. There's no end point, isn't it? And if I say keep on doing, that means you have to continue until I say stop, isn't it? This is the message. Imam al-Anbiya, Raufur Rahim, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, do it. There are two things, two actions. Do these actions to please your Allah, to please your Rabb. There are two actions that I'm giving to you, telling you in this Ramadan, in the month of fasting, I'm refreshing your deen, so that I know that Allah Ta'ala says that without this you are living your life. Your life without these two factors, you are living your life. And if these two factors don't come into your life, then you will not be able to please your Rabb. Why? Because there's no amal in your life which is correct, and you will not be able to get to that point through which Allah Ta'ala, your Rabb, is happy. So Allah, your Rabb, will be happy with two factors. Who is telling us this? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can there be anyone greater than this to present to us the formula to please Allah? Most definitely, all of the ibadat have been given to us to please Allah. But no, these two actions we have to take hold of. Then our salah will be accepted, fast will be accepted, hajj will be accepted, zakat will be accepted, umrah will be accepted. Everything will be accepted if we continue to do these two actions. Continue to do these actions that we've been told clearly. Ridwanul. To get the pleasure of our Rabb, Rabbikum. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was telling us clearly the two actions of Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tell us what are those two factors, those two actions. Abundance of dhikr and the abundance of astaghfar. Abundance of remembering Allah and the abundance of astaghfar. Now we've got the point, so we can get success. Have we got the point? Totally and clearly we've been told and reminded and refreshed, and our iman has been re-energized. The fast teaches us now, start this action now in Ramadan. And in Ramadan, why do we do this action? This much thawab and reward. If you do dhikr and this much reward, Allah Ta'ala says that leave this. Don't run after reward and thawab. You think that this is for reward, that this is an action that you have to do all your life long. Don't run after reward. And the true reward you will get is when you please Allah. When you please Allah, that is when you'll get the thawab. When you please your Rabb, your Lord. And forget playing the games in the world and trying to amass the rewards here. So in Ramadan has come to remind us, to tell us, we try our hardest. Why? Because this thawab, because this reward, and Allah Ta'ala is trapping the people. They come into the game, they're running after thawab. Let me make them habitual so I can give them freedom from hellfire and deliver them, take them towards paradise. Oh Allah, your rahmah, your mercy, your karam, your blessings. Allah says, this man, he's a sinner, he doesn't understand how many rewards he could get. So Allah says, I trap him, I tell him in Ramadan there's so much reward. One chance comes in a life, he's got a few days to live, maybe 8 days. After Ramadan, when he passes out of Ramadan after 2 weeks, he's going to have a heart attack, he's going to go to hospital and his arteries will be blocked. He doesn't know, he's eating parathas at the moment, he's eating, drinking, he doesn't know. Allah says, I know that he's only got 3 weeks left in his life. After that he's going to have a heart attack, then he's going to go to hospital and his veins and arteries will be blocked and he will have cure nowhere else, and they will come to me. For 3 months he'll come to me. 3 days maybe. So Allah Ta'ala says, I want to be pleased with this person. He's only got a short amount of time left in the life. Allah Ta'ala, apart from Allah, who else can have mercy on us, me and you, our lives? What do we know, that how much life we have left? Who knows this? Who can open this envelope that is sealed? It's a sealed envelope with the date written inside it. The envelope is sealed. We're making programs and plans after Ramadan. I'll do this, I'll go here, I'll buy this shop, I'll go on this journey, and then this will occur. And Allah is telling us Himself that I want this person to succeed quickly. He needs to become my friend, this servant of mine. He quickly needs to become my friend. Why? Because after 30 days or X number of days, he has a limited amount of time. He's going to pass away and come to me, this old man. And still he is worried about being young. His legs don't even move. And he's old, he's frail. I tell him, do tawbah, repent, take the tasbih of istighfar and ask for forgiveness, because your days of your life are diminished and reducing. And I want to send you to paradise. What you've done in life here to do, you've done. You played games and ran around and ran amok in the world, and you did sins. You left salah in your young life and you played games and you carried on doing all of the wrong things. Allah says, I'm your Rabb, I'm your creator. That forget the mother who never forgets the child. Allah says, I will never forget what you did, isn't it? Mother says, no, my son didn't do this sin. How can you say he's here? You know, when he's gone out, the son, and he's hit somebody at a fight and be someone, everyone has this, isn't it? And the mother has one child, and if you ring his mother, how are you? Your son, he's done something. No, I've got only one son. I've only got one son. Is it?
Subhanallah. Okay, she definitely says this. She has so much love. I've got one son. The person who has one child or one son, they definitely add this statement on the end. This phrase that the mother is proud. She's got that son has gone out and hit someone and beat someone, or the blood's flowing from that person's body, and people are phoning. No, your son, he hit this person in a fight. No. Go quickly, hide inside the house. He's nice. He's peaceful. He's never hit anyone. He's sleeping. She hides the son like this. And Allah says that the way I will hide you on the day of Hashr. Forget the mother. Angels say, Allah, he did this sin. Allah will say, be quiet, he's got no sins. He was a good man. He was peaceful, his jannah, he will go to paradise. He's not done anything wrong. How can you accuse him? Imagine Allah's mercy. There's no bounds, no limit. Look at the mothers of the world. Allah will hide us on the day of Hashr. Angels will be looking for us. Oh, where's that zalim? He did this sin. He did this wrong. They'll have examples ready in the list. And they'll say, he's not here. He hasn't even come yet. He's about to come. He hasn't come yet. Oh, Allah said, quickly, go into paradise before anyone sees. And I will see your examples. And I'll take care of your affairs. So this is the link between Allah and His servant. What a great opportunity. Allah has given us two things. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that for the sake of Allah, leave all of the games in Ramadan, all of the stories, the drama, the sins. Nothing will give you success. To please Allah, take hold of these actions now. Abundance of dhikr and abundance of tawbah. Istighfar means tawbah, repent, remorse, regret. And here, for example, I've got a watch today, new watch on, and I'll look at the time carefully, because yesterday it was a bit slow, and we missed out on dhikr. But obviously when we speak together, we discuss, there's so much enjoyment, and we remember Allah, there's so much enjoyment. The dhikr is enjoyment of remembering Allah, and also speaking like this is remembering Allah. And we enjoy that, and we enjoy this as well. So, what I was saying, it's come out of my mind. What were we discussing? So the servant, the creation of Allah, the servant of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, and Allah's karam and rahm and mercy and fadl. Allah's given us two actions. Allah says, do these two actions and start from Ramadan doing these actions. And when you start from Ramadan, and don't leave these actions in your life ever, even after Ramadan, what are the actions? Allah ta'ala's dhikr and astaghfar, repentance. Now we see here the glory of Allah, the power of Allah. Look at the combination of these two actions. That a beautiful combination effect, that tawbah and dhikr, these are together intertwined. It's such a combination, just like the twin children, the twins. I can't give a better example like this than this, subhanAllah. That where there's dhikr of Allah, there'll be tawbah. Where there's tawbah, there's dhikr. Yeah, and they cannot be separated. They are attached. Oh, I do dhikr, but there's no tawbah, then he's not doing dhikr, or she's not doing dhikr properly. They are connected. Oh, I do tawbah, I repent to Allah. Then you have to do dhikr at that time. You have to. The taib, the person who's repentant has to remember Allah at that time. So tawbah, repenting and dhikr, remembering Allah are hand in hand. Dhikr, tawbah, parallel, in parallel. When a person, a student goes to a friend of Allah to learn dhikr, this is the law, the principle of the teachings. A student who goes to do tawbah, to learn dhikr. So what does the shaykh do? You will have gone to a teacher. What did the shaykh say? Have you forgotten everything? What did we do? We did tawbah. What were the kalamas we recited? The verses? Was it a drama? Have you forgotten? You're honest? You're speaking the truth? You remember those kalamas you recited? Me and you recited them together, did we? So that's the first thing, tawbah. Repentance. Why? Because dhikr isn't given first. What's done first? Tawbah. Repentance. So when tawbah is given, when a person does tawbah, then after that dhikr is given to the student. This is the example. I'm giving you an example. That, for example, you want to sow the seeds, you want to grow something. Will you just throw the seeds into the soil? You've seen a piece of land, throw the seeds on, then you come after 6 months, huh? Where's the plants gone? Where's the wheat or the corn or the vegetation? The plants? No, it won't happen. So what does the landowner do? First, he prepares the earth, makes it fertile, improves it, makes it nice, level, fertile, prepares it. After that, he puts the seeds and sows the seeds, alhamdulillah. And after some months, 6 months, he comes back and he sees the crops that have grown, because he prepared, nurtured that land, ready for growing. My brothers, this is the same way with regards to our iman. We have the land of the heart within us, the fertile land of heart is barren, it's dry. Dhikr will not have an effect on a dry, barren heart. So first, the walis of Allah, the sheikh, the teacher, he will work on the heart. All of the rust of the sins on the heart, zina, adultery, lying, stealing, and a person who's a criminal and fraud, etc. Within a second, that is removed. And they clean the land of the heart through tawbah. And how is the heart clean through tawbah? Allah says, our Rabb, that when a person does tawbah, repents, the human being becomes how? That is not done zina. zina, he hasn't lied, he hasn't murdered, he hasn't plundered the land. Totally he will become like a person who hasn't sinned at all. Totally clean and pure. Yes, subhanAllah. That, for example, he's like, he's in the front row. That's that thief, that qatil, the zani, who's a sinner. And Allah will say, now he's changed, reformed, he hasn't committed any sins. And this is tawbah. Allah wipes away the sins. So when a student goes to Allah, and when a student goes to the sheikh, we don't understand when the wali of Allah is saying, do tawbah, that you're going to do tawbah for the sake of Allah's pleasure. We say, no, no, give me bayah. I want to become your student. Allow me to do bayah, pledge allegiance. We don't understand what is bayah. We say we want to do bayah. We don't understand what is tawbah. We don't have an understanding. The woman doesn't know, the man doesn't know. The sister doesn't know, the brother doesn't know. After bayah, foolish person, your heart's from within. The land of your heart is fertile and clean and pure in the first sight of the sheikh. On the first sight, the total of your heart is cleaned and pure from sins. The land is pure, your heart is pure from sins and negative. And then what is the next action? The first you do tawbah, you remove the sins and your heart is made pure. So after that you sow the seeds. I want wheat, so you sow the seeds of wheat. I want mangoes, then you sow the seeds for the mango trees. If I want apples, I will sow the apple seeds. So now the wali of Allah has cleaned your heart, he's cleared it of the sins, and then he will plant the seed of the plant that you need. You need Allah Ta'ala's love, so he will inject the dhikr of Allah into your heart, and no other plant or fruit will grow. Because this is what we need. So what do we need? Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. We want Allah Ta'ala's love. And so what will the wali of Allah do? He will inject the name of Allah into your heart. Alif Allah. Subhanallah. And the murshid gives the guidance. This is the verse, a great sheikh of wali of Allah recited this verse, and it was not some minor statement. He said, I went to my murshid, my sheikh, this is a great arifin who passed away, great Sufi, great wali of Allah. If you go to his mazar, and you'll see a beautiful scene that his life that passed. And this is some time back, Hazrat Sultan Bahu rahmatullahi, a great famous sheikh of Pakistan. And he would sit in isolation in the wilderness and he would recite Allah's name, Allahu. Now even today, if you go to that area, the trees in the jungle, the trees that are there and the birds that sit on the tree in the branches, and you hear who, 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 the effect that has continued for generations after that. Because the Darvish, the Wali of Allah, sat there and did the dhikr of Allah. Kalandar, a reviver, he sat there and remembered Allah. And this was his verse and a poem that he wrote. And the first verse, he said that my job, I didn't succeed, that you see today I'm fanaful Allah, I'm immersed in Allah's remembrance. First I became fanaful Sheikh, I was totally immersed in my Sheikh, my Murshid, then I reached to this maqam. That's why I say Allah's name from my tongue. Why? Because I went to my Sheikh to attain Allah's nearness, and my Sheikh, he toiled on my heart, he made my heart fertile, he cleared away the sins from my heart, then he injected that seed into my heart and he taught me the name of Allah. After clearing my heart from the barren wilderness, he says, I didn't put this plant of Allah's name into my heart, my murshid, my teacher, he taught me, he guided me, and he injected the name of Allah in my heart. And has this not happened to each and every one of us? The person who hasn't attained this, tell me today, why not? So this is the result, my friends. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. When the seed comes into the heart, what? Allah's name, the seed comes into the land of the heart, then what happens? Subhanallah. Then, subhanallah, after some days when you inject, put that the seed into the plant, into the soil, then slowly the branches come out, the roots come out, then the branches come out, then the fruits and the vegetables are clear to see after many months. So in the same way, when a person does tawbah, then when the sheikh teaches the name of Allah and injects this into the heart of the person, injects the seed of Allah's name, subhanallah, then obviously after the plants come, then what do you do after that? So after you put the seed into the soil, you have to give it water. So when the murshid, the teacher, puts the seed of Allah's name, so first he prepares the land, makes it fertile, puts the seed of Allah's name into the heart, then he waters that heart. Allah, Allah, Allah. So the more water you give to the heart, then the beautiful plants and the fruits will come out of the heart. What a great example. So our Rabb says, then Allah's pleasure, the fruits of Allah's pleasure come out of that person's heart. Yes, radiyatan mardiyah, this is an orchard. Radiyatan mardiyah is the orchard. And when the fruits grow in this orchard, what will they be? Subhanallah, Allah's pleasure, Allah's remembrance. It'll be so tasty and sweet. And you won't be able to eat those fruits here. You will sit in Jannah and eat those fruits. Allah will say that you grew these plants in the world. So if we sow the seeds here, then where will we harvest the fruits? Where will we harvest the fruits? These are the words of the hadith in Jannah and Paradise. These are the fruits. These are the fruits. So Qari Sahib will say, what is this fruit? Jannah. Oh, this is not the fruit. It's a fruit of the dunya. You grew it in the dunya, but you will have to eat it in the hereafter in Jannah, in paradise. Subhanallah. Then you'll remember the Shaykh. What a Shaykh. I had a great teacher and he toiled on my land of my heart. Can I meet my Shaykh? The person will say in the hereafter. Then you will have the desire. Have the desire to meet your Shaykh here in this world. Ajib people. What love they have with this Shaykh, with his Shaykh. Oh, I saw this Shaykh the other day and I had a dream about this Shaykh. That I swear by Allah, my life, I had no vision of anything. I had only two visions in my life. Two ziyarah. One is the Imam al-Anbiya, or secondly my Shaykh. And no other ziyarah did I have in my life. Not the Ghawth Park or nobody. What people? People who have dreams of other Shaykhs. They, in reality, they are not getting the faiz, the blessings, the benefit of the Shaykh. And they cannot get the benefit of Naqshbandi silsila if they are looking towards other people. If a person doesn't have love and a pure, solid attachment to Shaykh, it is stated that one company, one gathering of the Shaykh, to sacrifice that and leave that, then it is worse than leaving hundreds of thousands of years of ibadah. We don't understand what is the sohbat of the Shaykh. And we think that nafal ibadah is better. The hukum, the order is after fard, that Allah says after sunnah maqda, don't do any ibadah, just do one ibadah, which is to see the blessed face of your Shaykh. And this is ibadah, worship. This is the path, an ajeeb path, beautiful path, my brothers. And the kitab of this path is ajeeb, and the syllabus is ajeeb, and the dars, the lecture of this syllabus is beautiful and unique. And the asal of this is Quran. The root of this is the Quran. And the people who don't have this understanding and the manners yet, that what is the company of the Shaykh, manners of the Shaykh, adab of the Shaykh, or shall I do nafal and adibada? What kind of student is that? I cannot understand until today. Now how can a person compare the company of the Shaykh versus nafal ibadah? Person says, today I saw a dream of another Shaykh, I go towards other people. This shows that inside you, you don't have the regard, the respect and the adab of, with your teacher who's teaching you. That how did you come towards the deen? That you can, how can you even think to leave the company of your Shaykh? Those moments that Allah Ta'ala is giving to me, I'm free from work, I'm not in the dunya, and that time that I'm free apart from spending in the personal, physical presence of my Shaykh, he's alive, and I should understand the greatest way to spend time is to sit in the company of the Shaykh, and this cannot be taught. Wallah billah, I'm sitting on the prayer mat, and nobody taught me this. I was jahil, ignorant, I didn't have the understanding of the deen. In my life, all my life had passed in, you can say, wasteful activities. I didn't understand and the benefit of the sohbat of the Shaykh, the company of the Shaykh. But there must have been something inside from my young life. Everyone used to play in the streets, in the ground. Somebody played cricket and other sports and this. I just used to sit in the corner and just cry. And from my young age, I had this fitrat of being in isolation on my own. I didn't have any friends, no society. I didn't have a tariqah, a method. Just me in my room. That was it. I used to just keep myself to myself. Sometimes my father would come. What's he doing on his own? Let me see. That no one's complaining, no children, no bad boys are coming and complaining about him. I've not heard anything bad about him, negative. Everyone used to love and everyone used to have affection and regard for me. I don't know what it was. Maybe, subhanAllah, that naturally a person becomes like this. Or maybe Allah Ta'ala prepared me, Allah's mercy, that you pious people, Allah prepared me to sit in front of good people like you. Pious people like you. I can't see no other reason. Otherwise, how would I meet you, such pious, good people, beloved people, the people who want to attain Allah's nearness, Allah's love, and I am not even worthy and capable to sit with you. How would Allah Ta'ala prepare me though to, maybe this was the reason Allah prepared me to sit in front of good people like you. So, a person who doesn't even understand the step number one, principle number one, that teacher who has put the love of Allah in your heart, and you don't love him, you run after looking at other people, you look at pictures of other people, you have dreams of other teachers and mashayikh, a person's dreams are not in his control, are they? They're not in his control. So when you see such a dream, then do astaghfar, astaghfar, where's my shaykh gone? Where's my teacher gone? We don't even have this permission that you even desire to have nearness to the shaykh, the teacher of your shaykh. Even this in tasawwuf, this is against the principles of others, that you start paying attention to the Shaykh of your Shaykh. Oh, I'm going to Pakistan, I'm thinking to go to Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Ramdari's Mazar, or shall I go to Hazrat Ajiz Mazar? These are weak people, they're kachche people, they are not solid. I spent my whole life, not once did I say to my, that Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, who was my teacher's teacher, and he wasn't far away, his Mazar, his grave, and all people today are remembering his name, the effect of his teaching is there today in the world, and everyone would go to his Mazar, but wallah, no. One day did I leave the company of my Shaykh to go to his teacher's location. And never did my Shaykh say this. He smiled. Everyone's going. Jalsa, conferences, events. Every year trucks and buses going. But I stayed with my Shaykh. People said, why don't you go? They're pushing me. Go. One day Hazrat eventually said, when people are forcing me, Hazrat said that, don't pester my Darwish. Don't pester him, force him to go there. So what? Because I was taught the adab, love and regard. From which kitab did I learn this? From nowhere. This is a natural instinct and desire. Once in my life I didn't go. Not once. That Hazrat, doesn't matter who is there, Hazrat Fazal al-Quraysh, thousands can come. But I have no link with them. That I have to see my Shaykh, my teacher, Quddabs can come, Ghaws can come. Wallah billah, I tell you. What can I say to you? I'll tell you one event that occurred. This, the Ghaws of his time, the Ghaws, I was Maraqib doing dhikr in Madinatul Munawwarah, and the Ghaws of his time came. He said, I've come from Makkah, I want to meet you. I said, you are the Ghaws. Alhamdulillah, you have a great status. I'm happy to meet you. Allah has put you on a great status. And when the third portion of the night, I was mutakif in Masjid al-Nabwi, and I said, Allah has given you a rutbah, a status, a great rank. It's good we have met each other and we are together. But don't go beyond this. Don't speak to me beyond this, because I have no need for anything. Alhamdulillah, I have a Shaykh, I have a teacher. So who taught me this adab? Where did this point come from? How do people drop in the level? Subhanallah, the Shaykh is majlis and it's Ramadan. Subhanallah, great times, great days and nights. Allah's faiz is being distributed. Allah says, wherever my wali sits, then my mercies rain down on the gathering. And Ramadan is given mercies at the time. So thirsty people run from miles afar. Where Hazrat was doing itikaf, they would run there to the gathering. Look, the Khanqah of Raipur. Imagine the Khanqah of Raipur, you'd see the scene, the amount of people, the masses of people that would come there. But didn't they have masjids in their own towns to do the kaf? Did they not have places to do the kaf? Did they know? So why would they travel far and wide? The Mawlanas are sitting, ask them, is this not in history? As a Shaykh, where would he go to do the kaf? Saharanpur, were there no masjids in Saharanpur? Didn't they know? No, because the Wali Wala was here. So if there's Rahma where the Wali Wala is sitting, there's no Rahma anywhere else. And then, Noor ala Noor, light upon light. The Shaykh, the Wali Wala is sitting there, and on top of that nisbat connection with the Shaykh, then can there be greater days than this where the Wali Wala is sitting and it's the opportunity of Ramadan and he's my Shaykh? Can there be a greater opportunity to get faiz than that? No. But it's sad we don't understand this. That I'm telling you now, you are students, you are the Talib Ilm, I'm a Talib Ilm. And I'm just telling you a minor point here. Those people of Funafil, Allah Ta'ala says, I didn't put this plant. That you were, the Shaykh is saying this, the Shaykh is saying this, that you were useless, and the fragrance now is coming from that person, the person who is aqeedah with his Shaykh, belief and certainty and love, I swear by Allah, that from his body, from his conduct and manners, generations have passed, those places that had wilderness, that even now you can hear the name of Allah from that place. So imagine that person himself, who it is. But we are from inside, dirty and impure, we are munafiqs. Hypocrites, we don't have ishq, we don't have love, we don't have appreciation, we don't have ridhan, wallahi akbar, we don't call out to Allah, we don't have no understanding, we are totally useless. Useless. We just play games and we just need a little jolt to shake. That's it. And that'll be the end of the story. Allah Ta'ala said that we do dhulum on our own selves. Allah Ta'ala says that when you will come to me, I will give to you the result of the actions that you carried out in the world. What else can I give to you? Allah Ta'ala says. What else can I give you? Allah Ta'ala says that those people, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ, that how pure were you, how sincere were you, that the reason I sent you for, that you had not even sincerity with your teacher, then how can you even get close to me? Allah Ta'ala says, that I gave you the company, you were a munafiq hypocrite with your teacher, and what you used to do in life, and you played games up and down, that if you speak about islah and rectification, suddenly they start complaining, how can you say this, or how can I do this, and this become very difficult now today to do tarbiyah, to explain to a student that this is wrong and you need to do this. I just speak generally, this is not my objective to criticize anyone or to rebuke anyone or to put anyone down, this is just a duty that I'm fulfilling, Hazrat gave me this job, and the salikin, when they will come, I will give them tarbiyah and explain to them how to improve their life. So don't blame me, it's not my fault, I'm just fulfilling my duty. If people who like what I say, do amal. And if you don't like what I'm saying, then don't do amal on this. Don't practice, but don't start becoming afraid, or what shall I do now, what can I do now, what will happen now. Do what you want, do what you want. But my job is to explain. And I will say that this path is good and this path isn't good. But I won't say, personally, I will not put somebody down that don't do this or that. This is against my fitrah, against my nature. Personally, I won't say, I'm speaking generally to the gathering. I don't have a personal link with anybody. Wallah billah, I don't criticize anyone personally, nor do I look down on anyone, rebuke anyone, mention anyone's negatives. No, I have no desire to do this. Allah is watching and listening. I have no attention. I'm not thinking anyone personally. I'm just lost in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance at that time. I'm just sat in Tasawwur Shaykh, remembering my teacher, taught me, gave me the duty. As I said, I only saw two dreams in my life. Two dreams. Either Imamul Anbiya, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Khadim, the servant of Imamul Anbiya, the lover of Imamul Anbiya, my Shaykh, those two faces, blessed faces I saw, and wallah, I hope I didn't see any other third face after that. Allahu Akbar, my friends. So what was I speaking about? This is all Ridwan, Allahu Akbar. So what is fasting teaching us? Ramadan, that listen, we've heard the message, so we have to do two actions. What are they? Dhikr in abundance and astaghfar in abundance. What tawbah? One person says, I've done tawbah, and I tell you true story of Wali Wallah. He says, what tawbah have you done? He says, have you done tawbah? Yes, I've done tawbah. I took the tasbih. Tawbah, 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 tawbah. I do 1,000 a day. Tawbah, 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 tawbah. Oh man, foolish. Not this. The teacher said, sit down and you sit down in front of the cow and say, milk, 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 milk. Will the cow give you milk? No. It's not an automatic process, is it? You have to put something in to get something out. Allah says in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that do true tawbah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu tawbatan nasuh. Everyone knows this, everyone's a hafid. Tawbatan nasuh. Sincere and pure tawbah. So what is nasuh? Why didn't Allah just say do tawbah? There are two types of tawbah. Either tawbah, 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 tawbah. Not this tawbah. True, honest tawbah. Allah, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell us what is the true, honest tawbah. There are conditions. Four conditions. That at any time when you commit a sin, morning, evening, nighttime, street, shop, in the car, walking, talking, traveling, wherever you are, whenever you commit a sin, 3-4 actions straight away we have to do, our Rabb is telling us. And this is called Tawbat al-Nasuh. This is the hadith, that do istighfar in abundance, and this means that just like you do dhikr in abundance, then do tawbah in abundance. Tawbah is not done once in the life. No, remember this clearly, the kathira. Abundance. Many times over. Tawbah doesn't come once. Why? Na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. Are we prophets? Are we prophets? Those prophets, the prophets of Allah who are masoom, innocent, nor are we walis of Allah, and awliya, they are mahfooz. Allah protects them from sins. We are gunagar, sinful people. We are worse than the spiders and the creatures that every second maybe we can do sins. So Allah says, do tawbah kathira, kathira. What a door Allah Ta'ala has given to us. An opening. A way out. Allah says, do tawbah kathira and kathira. That? So first comes kathira, wastakthiru. Wastakthiru. Do it in abundance, in high quantity, regularly in your whole life. Do dhikr in abundance and tawbah in abundance. Allah says, I know you'll do tawbah, then you'll slip again. You'll do tawbah, then you'll fall again. Allah says, wherever you are. Yeah, so four things. Number one, whenever you sin, they have regret. Oh, I did tawbah, and I went to my sheikh, and I promised I won't sin. Oh, you disrespectful prophet, you just did tawbah. You just said, Allah, I leave my sins. Are you not feeling ashamed? And then slap yourself twice. Have remorse and punch yourself in the stomach as well at the same time. Oh, you disrespectful person. But the means you have no shame. Allah is watching you. Just did tawbah. And then you're carrying out the action again. You're looking at girls again. Women again. Okay, you can't get married. You'll get married soon. Have sabr. Have patience. Why do you look at other people's mothers and sisters? If someone looked at your mother and sisters, how would you feel? Huh? Are you taking revenge on Allah? If I don't get married until that time, I'm going to keep on looking at the women and you're going towards hellfire. Put your face down and head down. Allah says, Rabb, put your head down and have remorse. Regret. Oh, in the heart, what kind of parda is Allah given? Two parda. One is the parda of the face that people don't see you, and the other is the parda of the eyes. Allah says that you don't also look at other people. Many years pass, you don't recognize, is this the husband of this person's son, that person. There should be no way to recognize the people. Allahu Akbar. What a great statement. Great point. So wherever we stand, there are four conditions if a person sins. Number one, if you commit a mistake, have shame, feel shame. Number two, remorse, feel remorse. Yeah, point number one. And then number two, stand there, stay there and say, Allah, I promise I will not repeat this sin again. And if your heart is feeling, say it. Even if your heart feels like you want to do the sin again, say, Allah, I promise I won't do this sin again. Two things. Third point, principle. Allahu Akbar. Third principle, that I will not do this sin again. I will not repeat it. I will not do it again. I will finish off the sin right now. And fourth, that if this is Allah Ta'ala, we're promising, we're saying if we committed a sin, and these are sins, something against Allah Ta'ala's order, but if we have broken somebody's rights, unjust to somebody, then either go and ask Allah, that person, for forgiveness, or fulfill that person's rights. So when we've done these four actions, number one, do tawbah from sin, and have remorse and regret, and we do tawbah that Allah will not repeat this again, this sin, and never again will I do this sin again. I won't repeat the sin again. I'm totally free from that sin. And with the fadl of Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala says, go, I have forgiven you. I forgive you. End of story. Totally forgiven at that time. Straight away. So once, if you break the promise again, then do tawbah again. Do istighfar. Keep on doing tawbah. And here we learn a beautiful point. And a person, if he doesn't sin, what's the learning for that person? Teaching for that person? Person who doesn't sin, who is a good person, even that person has to do istighfar, istighfar. Why? Why? For this reason, that brothers, that the ibadah that you're doing, the worship of Allah, have you fulfilled the rights of Allah? Is your salah worthy that Allah will accept it? No. Then Allah Ta'ala says, that's why I've given you a way out, a path, that whatever deed you do, good deed, after that, what should you do? Astaghfar, astaghfar. Then I will accept your deeds, because there's no guarantee before that. Remember this point. Remember this point. Your deeds will be accepted. So at that time, we have to do this action at the same time. And if you've done a lot of ibadah, then there's another point that can arise. Look at this point. That after ibadah, this could occur. The Quran, does it not tell us? Wasabirun, Allah Ta'ala says, those people who do a lot of good deeds. As-sabirina was-sadiqina wal-qanitina wal-munfiqina wal-mustaghfirina bil-ashar. Those who are patient in adversity and true to their word and truly devout and who spend in Allah's way. And pray for forgiveness from Allah. They get up at the Hajjud time and pray. But what is that person doing? Bil ashar. Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me. From the innermost hearts. Have I done a crime? All night long I prayed. The poor soul, he's trying hard and we still have to do istighfar. Allah says, even then, bil ashar, you have not fulfilled the rights of my ibadah. All night long worshipping a sabir, a sadiq, a person who is patient and who is spending Allah's way, even then Allah says, you've not fulfilled my rights. Even then ask for forgiveness deeply. Okay, after that, if I sin, then there's another point. Allah Ta'ala says that first look the other side. Allah says, I'm your Rabb, all the ni'mas I've given to you, the rewards and all of the gifts and treasures. So here now, if you've done tawbah from your sins, from your amal, you're not to sin. Allah says, I'm your Rabb, your Lord, I have given you and introduced you to so many ni'mas in your one finger. If I take it away, what will you do? If your hand is taken away, what will you do? If I take your ears, what will you do? If your nose is bent, what will you do? Your whole body, every second, Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you treasures, ni'mas. And many women, they complain, oh, I'm finished now, I haven't got this, I haven't got that. Allah's ni'mas, we don't look towards. And this is the biggest sin, is to be ungrateful. You are the most ungrateful person. Allah says, you don't do shukr on my ni'mas. So another istighfar comes with that person. That if you, in reply to my ni'mas, keep on doing istighfar, then alhamdulillah, I will increase the ni'mas for you. Allah says, I will increase the ni'mas for you. Aha, so do istighfar in abundance. So this is where we conclude, my friends. For Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, what do we need to do? Two actions. Abundance of dhikr of Allah and abundance of istighfar, and both of these actions are such that no second of life should pass that we don't do these two things, or we're not dependent on these two things. We need to bring these two things into our life. And fast now tells us, will you do these actions now? Not just in Ramadan, but due to what? Due to the greed of what? Not for reward. Don't be greedy for reward. Become ashiks, lovers of Allah. Ashiks, and have the desire to meet Allah and to attain Allah's pleasure. Wa akhru dawana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.